Behind the Wheel with Peter Hitchener and Chris Miller.
Driven by behindthewheel.com.au.
When do we go for a ride?
Oh, look out, we're at it again. Another big week at Behind the Wheel. We talk cars, cars and more cars. And birthdays. Peter Hitchener, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much, Chris Miller. How great you are.
Looking brilliant for 36. What do you do?
Multiply that by about five and you come to the right age. However, I'm still going. And I tell you what a birthday treat it's been in the past week. Driving the great, wonderful new Kia Stinger. How good is that car?
Well, you see, I deliberately planned it so that you would get to spend a bit of time of your birthday in the Kia Stinger, your favourite car. And, of course, you've got the entourage that's about to enter the studio with the cake and the streamers.
Oh, how wonderful.
And I believe one of them's going to remove some of their clothes.
Oh, no, I hope not. No, well, in that case, let's just keep on going with the podcast. I think it'd probably be a good idea. Tell you what, though, that Kia Stinger is great, and we're going to drive around the block in it in a little while.
I think, well, let's do that in the next few minutes. But first, I reckon we kind of cover off what else we've got to get through on this week's show. And, of course, as always, it's jam-packed. We're talking Volvo. Now, of course, our mates over at Wheels awarded the Volvo XC60 their car of the year. It was a late entrant to 2017, so we hadn't quite had an opportunity to drive it until now. And I think the boys at Wheels know what they're talking about.
I do too. I absolutely love it. I haven't driven it very much yet, but so far my experience of it is it's unexpectedly good handling for an SUV.
Very much so, yeah.
Very good. And also quite unexpectedly fast. It's a 2-litre turbo diesel.
The one we've got, absolutely.
The one that we're driving. You can get to other engines, but this is the one we're driving, and I tell you what, it goes okay.
Absolutely. We're going to get David Pickett. He's a technical manager from Volvo Cars Australia. He's going to break down some of the more nitty-gritty details for us a little later in the show.
Like how many doors are there, and has it got a steering wheel, and that sort of stuff.
Just the important things,
That's my technical expertise done in one sentence.
Yeah, me too. HSV. Well, a lot of people kind of have written them off because the Commodore is dead, and I suppose a lot of people would have assumed so would HSV as a result. But turns out they're back in business and they have got a very interesting lineup on the way.
Yes, it does sound good. I want to find out more about it. We'll go to the source and ask the good people at HSV to tell us what we can look forward to.
I think it's a great idea. Now, Joel Helms, the busiest man in motoring, has had his busiest week yet of 2018. I think three different states in one week.
That's
three different
Joel.
Car launches.
That's Joel. It's how he travels. Now, of course, that Simon Lai's given up his title as the International Man of Mystery, I think
Joel's
we're going to
take
just
it
give
up.
It to Joel.
Well, the Australian Man of Mystery at the very least. I know he's been to Brizzy, he's been to Melbourne, and he's been driving a special edition of the Mazda MX-5, which I'm keen to hear about.
Oh, good little car.
And a Lexus RX-7. And I know that's really confusing when you say that.
Yes, you think.
It's really hard to type as well. Hold on a minute, there's something wrong here.
Is that a Mazda accidentally pretending to be a Lexus?
No, it's actually not. Look, I'm not entirely sure whether it's the official title, but it's certainly going to be my official title for the new 7-seat Lexus RX. And, of course, the RX was on our shortlist for Car of the Year in 2016, and it's a very fine SUV.
Oh, is it ever. Very good, very good.
Well, now you can take the basketball team with you in your Lexus.
At last. And also, the other thing is it means you don't have to do car modifications because it comes just the way you want it.
That's right. And speaking of car modifications, Rachel has been out and about on the streets of Sydney, and she sent me a picture during the week which just made my jaw drop open.
Tell us.
So picture this, a VX Commodore station wagon.
Okay, sounds good.
A nice kind of dark blue colour.
Yep, good so
with
far.
With some nice, vibrant, fluoro green flourishes up the door and up the bonnet.
Oh, good.
But the best bit,
yep.
Sitting on what appears to be a Toyota Land Cruiser platform. So, you know the way you said the young P-platers getting around in their four-wheel drives and they jack them right up to
absolutely.
The full extreme?
Oh, it's got to be tough,
and
I tell you.
And, you know, the knobbliest tyres they can possibly get.
Yes, oh, just for the ride and the cornering
and the noise
and
that it makes as it goes, you know, whirs along the road. Well, someone in some great blinding flash of genius has decided to make themselves an a low-range off-road Commodore. It's an interesting market. I'm not sure whether maybe Holden missed it there, and the Commodore may still be alive had they had the foresight to produce a low-range four-wheel drive
with
Commodore.
A little bit of Toyota parts underneath. Why not? That's what I'd have done if
so,
I thought of it.
Crazy car modifications, the topic on the agenda when we talk to Rach later in the show, but right now I think we need to hit the road. All right, well, we've made it to the Kia Stinger. Of course, the obligatory door close.
Wow.
pretty good thump.
Listen to that. It's beautiful build quality, beautiful car. Sorry, I have to declare straight away, I've fallen in love with this car, and that's all there is to it. I love the way it drives. I love the way it looks. We can't actually paint a picture for you on a podcast. However, picture this. It's a kind of cross between a Jaguar. Yep, there's definitely Audi lines there well.
Yep.
And also just a teeny bit of BMW from some angles. In other words, it's exceedingly good looking. And when you drive it, you'll realise it's the real deal.
Absolutely. And get a load of this interior too. Mm. I love the simplicity of it, like this beautiful sort of swathe of leather that kind of covers the dashboard there, and the binnacle style little air vents, and the simplicity of all the buttons. It really is well designed, but also beautifully put together. Like, I mean, this is a premium car.
Oh, very much a premium car. And of course, they've taken the cue. I'm not sure if it's Peter Schreier, who's the head of the conglomerate.
Design, yeah.
Yep. I'm not sure if it's his doing, because of course he had a background in Germany at Audi and elsewhere. But less is more. You know, it's very simple, but it's exceedingly elegant. Oh, it's got buttons that make a noise too, isn't that
it does.
Good?
I can't help myself. I've got to press buttons.
Well, yes, that's right. That's how you roll. Now, I noticed the first thing you do. See, here's the thing. I have actually, I've kind of hogged this car. I know you were meant to have it about
statement of 2018.
About a week ago, and I kept thinking, look, I will give this to Chris.
But
I really
will. Today.
Look, I'm a bit busy today, but look, we'll get there. I love it. But the thing, I noticed the first thing you did when you got into the car was switch it from comfort mode to sport mode.
Indeed, and there's a reason for that. So I'll put it in comfort mode.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether you can hear it. Be quiet. We'll see if we can get an engine note out of it in comfort mode.
Yep.
Okay. So
yes,
now
refined
we'll flick
and
it,
quiet and
flick
refined.
It to sport mode.
Yep.
And I think it gets a bit angrier.
It does.
Not a huge amount of
amount. And the other thing is, you'll notice that in sports mode, it's a lot less comfortable. Now, I like sporting cars. I like going around corners, you know, nicely.
In a spirited fashion.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing wrong with that. And yet, I find that comfort in this car gets you around the corners just as nicely as you want. And also, it is just a bit more comfortable, and the ride isn't quite so harsh.
Yeah, I found that at the launch, I don't know whether you remember, but I was saying that the GT mode, which is the one we're in at the moment, wasn't as compliant, but wasn't as well sorted when it came to the corners as the standard car, the SI version, which is considerably cheaper, about 12 grand cheaper.
Yep.
This, of course, has the adaptive suspension, and I just wonder whether it's just too much going on underneath those wheels.
But, I don't know. It's beautiful.
Look,
I love
it's
it.
Certainly not a bad device by any means.
No.
Here, you hold this.
Okay.
I'm going to go for
now,
a crack around
just,
the block.
I'll just tell you, first of all, 3.3 litre petrol, 8-speed automatic. This one's in deep chroma blue, which needs a wash because I've driven it everywhere and I absolutely love it. Oh, and good news, even though this is a lot of money, 60 grand, 60,685 will get you this fabulous car. Let's go.
All right. It is blindingly quick.
Wow. This roundabout came up quite fast, didn't it? Look out. Oh, look out. Miller's driving. Here we go. Wonderful brakes. Fabulous cornering. Oh, this car, I love
it. Jeez, it's planted, though, isn't it? Just the way it squats and gets that power to the ground. The front is completely unflappable, just sitting straight. It's a really rewarding car to drive. Like, it's just great fun, and God, it's quick. And when you consider, you know, the Commodore SSV, that's now no longer, but the LS3 6.2 litre V8, 0-100 in 5.4 seconds. This car, 3.3 litre twin turbo, does 0-100 in 4.8 seconds.
There
like,
you
it's
go.
It's ridiculously quick.
Ridiculously fast. Now, people are saying that it is, in fact, maybe an alternative to the Commodore. And, of course, Kia's hoping it'll take the role of both the locally made Commodore and the Falcon. I tell you what, the imported Commodore is going to have to be exceedingly good to, really, to equal this one.
Oh, let's see. I don't think it's got a hope, to be perfectly honest. I really don't. I think this is a car that not only will take the place of the Falcon and the Commodore for those type of enthusiasts, but it's going to steal sales from the likes of Infiniti, you know, the Genesis brand, why would you buy one of those when you could have one of these? It's great. I love this car.
Yes, so do I. Absolutely love it. And another thing about this car, in the week plus that I've had it, thank you, Chris, for letting me have it so long, I've never had more interest from other people. People are just falling out of the trees to just come and have a look at it and talk about it and find out, what's it like? Is it as good as it looks? And of course, there's a lot of interest in this car. I think they'll sell well.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested in a sedan at all, get to your key dealer, text this out. I think it's time to turn the mic off and hit this road. What do you reckon?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Lovely.
The ideal family vehicle has seven seats, is spacious, practical, luxurious, and realistically priced. The new Havel H9 ticks all those boxes. The 2018 Havel H9 has just landed in Australian dealerships and boasts a turbocharged 180kW engine, 8-speed auto transmission, and more of the luxuries car buyers have come to expect from Havel. With seven seats, great off-road ability, and a 5-year warranty, this is the ultimate family adventure SUV. Visit your Havel dealer to see what everyone is raving about, or havel.com.au. For the latest truck and bus industry news, visit heavyvehicles.com.au. We bring you coverage of the latest new models, new technologies, and issues that matter to owners and drivers. Read heavy vehicle reviews, and you can win some great truck-related prizes too. heavyvehicles.com.au. Truck and bus news every day.
Behind the wheel.
Behind the wheel, where motoring starts.
Welcome back to Behind the Wheel. We're going to catch up with technical manager David Pickett from Volvo Cars Australia in a couple of minutes. Before we do that, though, we find ourselves inside of Volvo, and I think, Pete, it's probably a good idea to talk to David about this all-new XC60. Now, the XC60, of course, is, say, your mid-size premium SUV from Volvo, competes with the likes of the Audi Q5, the BMW X3, and, of course, the Mercedes-Benz GLC. Now, I've been lucky enough to have this car for a couple of days. You're only in it a few minutes. What are your first thoughts?
Oh, I love it. It's got that lovely Volvo feel about it. And I talk about the recent Volvo feel.
Yeah.
Beautiful controls, that big iPad-sized screen that's vertical rather than horizontal. So it gives you just a nice, relatable interchange with current position on the maps, your radio, iPhone, fuel consumption. It's handy to do. I see you've notched up 10.7 litres per 100 kilometres. Not bad in a car this size.
Might have something to do with some very short city trips.
Oh, yes, and a certain lead foot on the right there. Yes.
But look, you can flick this way, of course. Yes. You've got your digital radio there.
Right.
The car will read your messages. It'll tell you about your driver performance. I'm not sure I want to press that button.
No.
Oh, look, it says driver performance excellent.
Excellent. Yeah, so. Oh, yes. Where does it say that again, Chris?
And then if you duck through to the swipe again to the left. No, it's not Tinder. Swipe to the left, and
I don't even know about that, I'm afraid.
There you can control your lane keep assist, your distance alert, your cross traffic alert, all those sorts of things.
All right, park assist. Did you give it a crack?
Look, I didn't, but do you want to park?
No. I don't trust those things. No. I'll do it myself, thanks.
Well, I reckon with the amount of research and development money that Volvo now have, thanks to their Chinese owners, Geely, that if it's going to work in any car, it's going to work in this car, because this car is just so brilliantly thought out, and it's a bit like the Jaguar Land Rover story, I think, when Tata came along with all that money and said, here you go, boys, now go and build the car that you've always wanted to. I think the same's happened to Volvo, because the research that's gone into it, you can see that there's been no stone left unturned, and it's just so well thought out. But it's an SUV, but I must say, as soon as I got into the driver's seat, it doesn't feel like you're sitting in an SUV.
No, it doesn't.
You've got a little bit of height, so you've got that extra vision. But the way it kind of cocoons you, and as you drive around the block here, Pete, you'll notice that the way it handles is something quite extraordinary.
Well, I'm looking forward to this, because remembering that I've had more than a week in the glorious Kia Stinger GT, you know, the fast one, the one
the one I now have the keys for.
Love, you lucky thing. I reluctantly handed those keys over, I can tell you. I'm looking forward to doing a back-to-back comparison, because this being an SUV, you wouldn't expect it to be a patch on the other car for handling and so on. But from what you've been saying, it's pretty good.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's not going to be up to the Kia Stinger standard, but when you look at it in comparison,
comparison to the BMW X3, which of course we had just a couple of weeks ago, the Audi Q5 we had just before Christmas, both very accomplished, beautiful, luxurious SUVs.
Yep.
But I think this car takes it to them, and I think it actually beats them, because not only you've got this beautiful, luxurious interior,
this cabin is beautiful,
but the way it drives is brilliant. Of course, you've got all that inherent Volvo safety just built into the car. And it's a good-looking machine, too, from the outside.
Is. It's very reminiscent, I think, of the XC90, new XC90.
With its Thor headlights. Well, it's actually an LED stripe, but it's in the shape of Thor's hammer, which is kind of nice. But just the way they've done this car, I love the way it flies under the radar. People kind of dismiss it a little because it's got the Volvo badge on it. But I think that's at their own peril. If you are in the market for a midsize SUV with that premium badge, you know, you've got to have a look at this. Now, the one they've given us this week is
Tell us about the engine, all that stuff.
Well, there are a variety of engines that you can get. The T8 is the one that I'm particularly excited about but haven't driven yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the monster that has the 2-litre turbo 4 plus the electric motors. Does about 50 k's on electricity alone. But when you combine those two motors, you're looking at a power output of about 314 kilowatts.
Oh, that's your kind of
language. That's
the
same as
right
like
there.
A BMW M3.
There you go. Nuts. Yep.
However, the one we've got here is the D5R design, and it's got the 2-litre turbo diesel. Pretty healthy outputs, 173 kilowatts, 480 newton metres. Consumption is suggested here at 5.6 litres per 100
now,
k.
Now, let's go back to that one. 10.8. Well, close. Not.
Well, anyway, yeah. Look, anyway. I'm sure it could be brought down with a more conservative driving style in eco mode. But of course, you do get this fabulous 10-speaker sound system with a digital radio. You've got the fine Nappa leather. A heated front seat as an option in this car, and metallic paint as an option at $1,900.
Yep.
But list price for this particular car, $73,990, as we sit in it, $76,390. Right, not so cheap,
not
but...
the cheapest car going around.
But would you wouldn't be shopping at it against a Holden Equinox or kind of a RAV4.
Up against an X3 or an Audi Q5.
Or a GLC, in which case it's cheaper than the lot.
Yeah, that's true.
I think they've got a winner on this car on their hands with this. You know our mates at Wheels awarded it Car of the Year, and I can absolutely understand why it's great. I think we head back into the studio now. We'll chat with David and see if we can get some more technical info.
Good work.
On the Volvo XC60.
Alrighty, as promised, we're going to get you some technical detail on a car that is important for our mates at Volvo. I'm not sure whether it's their best-selling model, because there's an awful lot of XC90s out there.
Aren't there, Justin?
Although the XC90 was renewed, what, about 18 months ago?
And what a car that
turned
out.
Well, it's just a spectacular machine.
Mm.
And it would seem similarly, so is the XC60. In fact, any kind of little blemishes or kind of hiccups they might have encountered with the XC90 seem to be well and truly ironed out. Not that I personally found any myself.
Neither did I, actually.
But this XC60, wow, what a well-put-together machine, as we suggested when we went for a drive around the block there. So to get a bit more detail from Volvo's perspective, we thought, let's not get one of the communications blokes on, because they just try and sell us things. Let's get the technical manager on, the guy that knows what the nuts and bolts do. It's a big behind-the-wheel welcome to David Pickett. G'day, David. How are you going?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good to talk to you, David. Now, tell us about the XC60. Having driven it just a little bit, I must say, didn't feel like an SUV in the handling department, and it felt like it ripped along pretty well with its 2-litre turbo diesel motor.
Yeah, the XC60 has been a really good model for us. You know, the previous car was a volume seller, and so now the technologies that we're putting into the new one are sort of just showing the car to be better again. Yeah, we sort of, it's a whole new structure from our point of view with chassis and suspension changes. You know, a different front end through the car. The engine sort of had a bit more refinement done to it and things like that. So we're pulling a lot of the technology out of the XC90 into the XC60, and this is what we call this sort of platform changes, where we actually have a lot of infrastructure running the same across models of the cars.
Driving the car, you just get a feeling that there's a huge research budget at play back there somewhere.
Yeah, there's been some money spent, there's no doubt of that. But as I said, a lot of the stuff we're actually getting out of the money that was spent for XC90. With having this, what we talk about, a scalable platform architecture, so we end up with engines, transmissions, chassis and electrical architecture that we can actually put into another car. So the differences between the XC60, XC90, S90, V90 are very little from a technology point of view. Obviously, you've got a different, you know, body over the top and ride heights and things like that.
Mm.
But the tech is the same throughout the cars.
That's amazing, considering the considerable size difference between the XC90, which is a behemoth, compared to the XC60. It's hard to believe that it kind of all sort of shares the same underpinnings.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we found. Yeah, some people actually said, look, you know, 90 is a little bit too big for me. Although it is a 7-seater, so but 60's actually turned in to be a lot, suits a lot more people, I think, especially those that don't need that 7-seat.
Yes, and also, despite the fact that it's smaller than the 90, when you get inside it, there's heaps of room. It's a very roomy option.
Oh, yeah, and the other thing is, too, you've got the same engine plants in the 60 as you had in the 90, so all of a sudden you've got a car that weighs less, that goes better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, so if you look at the T8, which is the plug-in hybrid, that thing's north of 100 and sort of like 5.3 seconds. You know, it's a rocket.
Absolutely. I got to say, I was blown away by how well you could throw this thing around. Like, it doesn't drive like your standard sort of roly-poly SUV. It's got, you know, very little body roll in it, and it's just really chuckable.
And that's sort of the way the front wishbone's been set up. So we have a double wishbone set up structure for the car as opposed to traditional McPherson strut, and that gives you a lot more control over it. And rear suspension setup's quite stiff as well, so it gives you good handling without actually losing any of the ride quality, and especially being on low-profile tyres as well as we are.
And once you get in the cabin, I must say, I like the dash, the layout there. I love the iPad-style audio-visual unit, the AV unit in the front there. It's very user-friendly. It's very intuitive somehow.
From Volvo's point of view, that's, you know, there's a safety factor in there as well as it's, if you can't activate most of the systems with voice recognition, it's quite easy to actually just sort of sweep across and, you know, to changing the temperature. I can either sort of say I'm cold and it will put the temperature up or just sweep across and as I touch the temperature gauge, that becomes quite a big dial for me to actually hit the temperature on.
I've always wondered about voice commands and whether some of them could be a little confused.
It's a lot better now than what it was about 10 years ago.
And whether the car can carry out some of the more angry expletives that come up. But not when I'm driving, of course.
Of course not.
No.
I like the destination input function on the nav. You just sort of scribble it on the touch screen. You don't have to concentrate too much. You don't even have to look away from the road. It's a really intuitive car. I know there's a lot on the agenda for Volvo, including the imminent launch of the V60, which, of course, is the station wagon version of the SUV that we just drove. Am I kind of in the ballpark?
Yeah, but we've got the V40 cross-country before we do.
Well, V40, right. And then we've got the XC40 coming as well.
Sorry, XC40, yeah, so that'll be here first.
And again, will the XC40 be sort of a scaled-down version of the XC90?
It'll have a lot of the familiarity for when you look at from design cues and things like that. You know, you look at the car instantly, you'll tell that it's a Volvo of the current series. When you get into the cabin, you'll see the same touchscreen setup, same vehicle controls and things like that. So it's the first car on a smaller architecture platform. We call this a CMA, so it's a compact modular. So it'll be the sort of the first vehicle of a series of smaller cars off that same size platform, similar to what we've done with the XC90, XC60 and then S90 as well.
Gotcha. Sounds like you've got a very busy 2018, 2019 ahead of you, David. I hope you've had a nice rest over Christmas.
Probably should have taken some more time off.
Yeah, probably should have. Great of you to spend some time with us today on Behind the Wheel.
My pleasure.
One of the smartest and most versatile products in the Altrex Auto Accessories range is Skin's Invisible Protection Film. Apply to your car's headlights or paintwork to protect from stone chips and road debris damage without affecting aerodynamic efficiency or the look of your car. You can use the ultra-thin and strong film on items around your house, such as windows, furniture and white goods. Order a roll now at altrex.com.au or pick some up at your local auto accessory retailer. Skin's Invisible Protection Film. The clear choice in paintwork and headlight protection, and a whole lot more.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.
Behind the Wheel.
Behind the Wheel. Where motoring starts.
Yeah, we're talking crazy car mods with Rachel Franco shortly. Joel Helms is on the line in a couple of minutes. We're going to go to car launches. You know what? Have you noticed his girth is kind of expanding a bit, because he keeps going to these car launches and eating kind of, you know, smoked duck and,
oh,
you know, so pâtés and parfaits and all those sorts of things that Joel loves, but I'm a bit concerned for him.
Yes.
are you trying to be very non-committal and not...
Yeah, well, yes, I am. I think
we're not calling him fat. We're just saying that he's been in that sort of really lush green paddock for a little while.
Sadly, it's a lush green paddock that I've occasionally found myself in as well. So
I'm ensconced in it. Don't worry,
Joel. You look amazing, and and enjoy the launches, lucky thing.
As promised, we're going to talk HSV, and of course, a whole new world in front of us when it comes to HSV products. So to tell us a bit more about them, we went to the head man, the big guy of HSV. We love him. His name's Damon Paul. G'day, Damon. How are you going?
G'day, gents. How are you both?
Good to talk to you, Damon. So what's happening in HSV these days with the Commodore out of production? What now?
Well, it's certainly been a busy period for us. I think that's probably an understatement, to be honest. We finished the local production of the Commodore-based platform on December 29, the last vehicle rolled off the production line, and
right.
We've started the new year at new premises, and our first Colorado Sports Cats have just rolled off the production line here in Clayton South.
That sounds amazing. Tell us about the Sports Cat.
Well, it's a very unique vehicle. The Colorado by Holden's obviously been highly successful. I think they sold upwards of about 19,000 pickup 4x4s last year. Mm. So as we've done traditionally, we're looking to enhance some of their product, and the Colorado Sports Cat is a new foray into a non-rear-wheel drive V8 platform for us. So taking our typical DNA, performance, design and innovation, and just amping it up.
Who are going to be the buyers of these, do you think?
It's an interesting segment. I mean, last year's about 166,000 of these things bought.
Mm.
I think tradesmen is a logical key customer base. But what we're seeing is an evolution in the product to the extent where a lot of families are actually moving from different segments into these pickups because they've been improved from both a comfort, ride and handling perspective. Mm. And I guess that's the sort of area of the market we're looking to capitalise on and dominate.
Yeah, excellent. Now, the Colorado, it's a pretty accomplished machine. How is the HSV Colorado Sports Cat? Is that the correct title?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Great, excellent. So how is that different to your garden variety Holden Colorado?
Oh, look, we've got a host of upgrades that we've introduced on the model. Let me just start with the styling. It extends to, you know, new fascias, new grills, new fender flares, fantastic forged 18-inch alloys, new tyre package from Cooper, wider wheel track, increased ride height, HSV sports suspension, and the list in terms of driving dynamics goes on with a lot of the features we've pulled from our engineering heritage of AP racing brakes. And what's unique about the product is probably on the Sports Cat Plus, the rear decoupling anti-roll bar.
The what?
To ensure.
I was hoping it had one of those. What is it?
I think essentially it's an anti-sway bar that ensures that you limit the amount of body roll. And the great thing about the HSV design system is that when you do go into off-road territory, well, you want to be able to decouple that just so that you can actually get the wheel articulation you need in those territories.
Mm.
And this special decoupling feature enables that to happen on the fly.
HSV, you expect it to drive brilliantly. You mentioned it's got the great new suspension package in there. I did notice you said an increased ride height. Was that right?
Yeah, look, versus its donor vehicle, and the vehicle's based off the highly successful Holden Colorado Z71. The vehicle actually be at the front about 45 mils higher. We've lifted up by 25
with
a new suspension and these terrific new Cooper Xeon LTZ Pro all-terrain tyres. There's a mouthful. Give you an extra 20 mils. So 45 mil at the front is quite a substantial lift, and it gives us one of the best-in-class approach angles and ground clearances.
Normally, though, my understanding was if you wanted a car to handle better, you'd kind of make it lower.
Not in this instance, and I guess that's where the engineering expertise comes from our chassis engineers, especially here at HSV. So I guess all vehicles in this category are typically good off-road. That's almost a category expectation.
Yeah.
And we'll obviously be near the lead in that regard with the items I've mentioned. But I think what we've found through a lot of research is that 95% of the time, these vehicles are actually driven on tarmac or gravel dirt roads.
Yeah.
And that's why we've designed this unique chassis setup to give us the best-in-class driving dynamics while at the same time being more than capable off-road.
Now, Sports Cat, I must say it's probably not going to be on my shopping list because No, don't get me wrong. It's just because I find them really difficult to park. But and then I, of course, remember you bringing the Chevy Silverado to town as well.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just sort of thinking, if I thought the Colorado was big, well, I ain't seen nothing compared to the Silverado.
We've got the truck categories covered. In addition to sort of our enhancement business, the new horizons we're talking about, HSV, also extend to a new engineering stream called re-engineering. So we're taking selected Chevrolet products, and we're talking both Silverado, the mighty truck, and also the Chevy Camaro.
Camaro,
and we're re-engineering
yes.
them to right-hand drive. Again, we're an engineering company to the core, and we have good expertise internally that will do this seamlessly to OE standards of quality, and really satisfy much of the market that's currently being unsatisfied.
And does that add significantly to the cost of the vehicle?
Look, pricing for both the Chevrolet models, given that they're not due for launch until April for the Silverado and around about July, August for the Camaro, is yet to be announced or confirmed. So it's a bit of a TBC there, but again, I guess affordability is at the core of everything HSV's ever done in 30 years, so that will continue to be part of our DNA.
Good wow, word. Exciting times. As we were saying to David Pickett, I should say, from Volvo a little earlier, they've got a huge year ahead of them. I think maybe HSV's got an even bigger year. So did you get a good rest over Christmas?
Ha, ha, ha. I've just moved houses, so I tell you what, I need another rest. That comes with its own challenges. But look, I can say one thing. We're really excited, HSV, about the future. This new diversification, for me as a marketer, is especially exciting, getting to know new customers and what they think, feel and do and making sure that we satisfy them the best we can.
As always, Damon, you're a wealth of information and really exciting times on the cards for HSV. Looking forward to chatting again about Silverado and Camaro. In the meantime, go home and have a bex and a lie down. You've got a big year ahead of you.
Always good to chat, lads. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Damon.
Yes, indeedy, it's product review time, and of course, it's almost the end of February, and that means your car's suffered through another long, hot Aussie summer. Just think how many hours your car sat out in the baking sun over the past few months while you enjoyed the waves or sat in air-conditioned comfort. Your poor car was boiling. Well, now is the perfect time to give your car's paintwork some love and bring it back to a healthy shine. Naturally, you start with wash and dry using quality car care products, but then you really need to go the extra mile. And the way to do that is with our product of the week, CarPlan Ultra Soft Cream Wax. It's the most efficient way to polish your car. It protects your paintwork week after week from weathering and road grime, and it's suitable for most paint types. And it even comes with a handy applicator. You can buy it right now. $14.99 is all it'll cost you. And to get your hands on this fantastic CarPlan Ultra Soft Cream Wax, head to leading auto retailers or go to the Alltrex online shop. That's alltrex.com.au. Alrighty, we're going to continue on. Got lots still to get through on this week's show. Now, Pete's just stepped out of the studio, and just between you and I, we've got a bit of a special birthday surprise for him lined up, and there's two or three girls out there that I hope he's going to walk past. So cross your fingers and he doesn't come back in with the surprise blown. Joel Helms, of course, would love to be here for the birthday present that we've got organised for Peter Hitchener. Thankfully, though, it's radio, so we can get away with this in this G-rated time slot, Joel.
Yes, well, it's not every day you turn 45.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Yes. He's going to love you for that. Hey, look, we want to just catch up with you quickly because I know you probably headed back to the airport to get on another plane to go to another launch, but you have been busy this week with not one but two cars on the agenda.
Yeah, they're both fairly interesting cars, but the Mazda MX-5 RF Limited Edition was a good drive. It's only a very limited edition car, limited to 110 in total in Australia. All of those cars with the dealerships already, so if you want one, you'd better be quick. Comes with a whole host of little add-ons and things like Brembo brakes up front, Bilstein suspension, Recaro seats. And look, it's not a bad little thing. No extra power.
No more poke? Because that's probably about the only thing it's lacking.
Look, it's got adequate get up and go. That's probably the best way to put the MX-5. You know, it's probably slightly more exciting than the 86 BRZ. But of course, you know, the folding roof, the fiberglass roof is a real highlight, and it's been a very successful model in Australia, so I'm sure the 110 limited edition cars will go pretty quick.
Any easier to get in and out of, even though Pete was sort of basically saying you've been going to a lot of launches, and I agree that at launches you do get a lot of, like, kind of, you know, smoked duck and parfait and, you know, rich chocolate mousse, and, you know, maybe you've been spending a bit of time in that green pasture. Did it have any impact getting into and getting out of the MX-5?
Well, thank you very much. I think probably the issue is not so much girth, but the problem is long legs. That's the main problem with the MX-5 for me. I'm not excessively tall. I'm probably about regular adult Australian size, but I find it a particularly uncomfortable vehicle due to the big lump in the floor that prevents you from lifting your leg up, your left leg up.
You're right,
between the console and the steering wheel. So you're basically in that seating position the whole time you're in it. And, of course, I always feel a little bit like my head's poking out the top of the roof.
Exactly. So if you're a 5'4" and looking for a new car, head to your local Mazda dealer.
Yep,
if you've got a tribe of kids, I believe Lexus has an answer now.
Yeah, look, the luxury makers have been a little bit slow to get onto the seven-seat SUVs because BMW's got the X5,
yeah.
You get a couple of extra seats in the back. But, you know, a fair bit more money for that. This is the RX, which is one size down, mid-size SUV, about probably Nissan
Pathfinder-y size?
No, smaller than Pathfinder. You'd go X-Trail.
Okay.
But, of course, it's had five seats forever. It's been a big seller in Australia. More than a quarter of all Lexus sales in Australia traditionally have been for the RX. But,
really?
Yeah, now there's the option, which is called the RXL. It's got two seats in the back.
I thought they were going to go with RX-7.
No, that would have made good sense, yes.
Anyway.
You would have had to have a rotary under the bonnet.
True, very good point.
Yeah. No, look, hybrid engine or a V6, starting price $84,700, essentially the same car as a standard RX. The roof's been extended a bit, the tailgate's extended a bit, and the rear overhang extended by about 110 millimetres, so it's 5 metres in length.
Wow.
Yeah, the third row of seats, you've got to say, however, really only for children, not adults.
So. Okay.
So probably a handy addition to the Lexus lineup.
Would think so. Now, the RX is it's very a polarising car. It's very much love it or hate it. Has the extra sort of length and the modifications they've made to it sort of altered the overall aesthetic, or does it still look pretty much like an RX?
I think if you hated the five-seat one, you're going to really hate the seven-seat one. Let's put it that way.
Okay, right. Excellent. Of course, you can read with interest at behindthewheel.com.au. Reviews and more from Joel Helms. Mate, we'll let you get back to the airport. Thanks heaps.
Thank you, sir.
Australian families looking for the ideal vehicle for their needs are often left frustrated. Some vehicles seem to tick all the boxes but then cost the earth. Others are well priced but don't have the space or features that families need. Stop compromising, as there is an option that won't leave you wanting more. The new Havel H9. Boasting a 180kW turbo engine, 8-speed auto, 5-year warranty, real off-road ability, and 7-seat capacity, the Havel H9 just can't be beaten. Visit your local Havel dealership today or havel.com.au.
Behind the Wheel.
On the road. Accelerated by behindthewheel.com.au.
Alrighty, we got a bit to get through before we run out of time yet again. It always seems to happen so quickly, Pete, that, you know, you're all geared up, you think you've got loads of room, and then you look at the clock and you go, oh,
wait a sec, it's nearly finished.
I know, and we've got to get right through Rachel as well.
Oh, Rachel, we couldn't possibly do the show without you, so tell us, how are you?
Hi, guys, I'm really good. How are you?
Very well, thanks, and I love your topic this week. Tell us how it came about.
Well, we were discussing your birthday and we thought, should we get three strippers or just two and a pole? Rachel wasn't sure.
Enough with the
strippers. Yeah, I was on the fence.
Oh, gosh. As you know, the way I celebrate a birthday is a cup of long black coffee and a biscuit, and that's it.
With a stripper.
No. No. Oh,
there you go.
Oh, that music is lovely. Thank you, Christopher.
We'll leave you alone now on the birthday. We'll get the strippers out. No. Wait out there. Sorry. Right. Now, Rachel, you did have a topic, I believe.
Yeah, we do, funnily enough.
And I love your topic.
Crazy car mods.
Yeah.
Now, I tried...
The car modifications you've ever seen.
I tried to explain that car, called that Commodore that you sent me pictures of earlier. in the week to Pete. I'm not sure whether he quite got it, but just remind us again how great it actually was.
Okay, well, I was out last week getting lunch, and a friend pointed out this absolutely ridiculous-looking car at the intersection. So it was basically a VX Commodore wagon.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Totally pimped out monster truck style. So the
monster truck. It's exactly what I look like.
Yeah. It was on these ridiculously big, like it looked like a monster truck. It was so far up off the axles, like the wheels were massive, and he's modified bits of the bumper and stuff, but it looked like he'd also done his own paint job.
Oh, you need that.
So it could have been house creative paint, not sure, but it was a matte black with green accents behind the grille and on the tyres, on the rims.
Did it have blue headlights, I hope, and blue puddle lamps all the way around, just to make it...
You didn't.
Just that extra
enough.
Special.
Well, look, maybe it's still a work in progress.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe not finished.
We did have a modified bumper that had extra lights in the front. It looked ridiculous. And so in the middle of Sydney, I mean, the car looked ridiculous as it was, but plonk it in the middle of a busy intersection in Sydney, and it just looked absolutely ridiculous. It was one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen on the road. I took numerous photos, posted on Facebook, shared it amongst everybody, had a bit of a laugh.
Put them on, I hope they're on the Behind the Wheel website, because I think we've all just got to see this miracle of modern science.
We might just have to put one up for everybody, I think, Pete.
I hope so.
Could you imagine how much it would have cost him, though, to get the car to that state? I was sort of thinking about it. It's got to be tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, if it was done well, you'd be like, okay, each to their own, good on you, mate. But it's so...
Half-assed?
It's such a backyard half-assed job, That was part of the absurdity of it. It just looked ridiculous.
And yet when you think about it, wouldn't it be wonderful if you had the resources and the technical know-how to create a transformer vehicle of your own? So you're driving along, you get to the traffic lights, and you decide, right, I'm going to press a button, and here's what's going to happen: it's going to grow wings and fly away to the next suburb or something like that.
I'd do that and just fly over all the traffic, flipping the bird to everyone as I was flying past in my Transformer Commodore.
That is the best thing of all.
Has anyone given you a strange tasting cup of tea or anything today? Have you been eating any weird biscuits?
No, don't you think a Transformer car would be great fun? Or one that suddenly decided, I'm going to go from four wheels to two and I'm going to be able to lane split. You see if I don't.
But I'm sure people have done stupid things like that or attempted to try and make a Transformer car.
It's stupid, isn't it? That's what it is.
Oh, stop it. Miller, you're a shocker.
Now, Pete, tell us about your Mitsa Uber BMW, because I know when it comes to mods, I think you were kind of king in that car.
Well, I just liked that. It was a Magna, Mitsubishi Magna, but it had... it looked for all the world like a BMW, but it didn't really, but it had BMW decals on it and the BMW, the spinning propeller logo on the bonnet and on the boot.
Stuck it over the Mitsubishi badge,
And it just looked an absolute treat, and I thought, oh no, are my eyes deceiving me? It is a BMW, isn't it? No, it's not.
Why would you bother going out and spending $80,000 on a BMW when you can just... stick some details on a Magna.
Buy a Magna and go for your life, and no one will tell the difference.
No one would ever tell the difference between a Magna and a BMW.
It was actually cute. I saw it in the car park at work, and I assumed that it was somebody doing it for fun. Right. And I thought, good on you. You've brightened my day, that's for sure.
Oh, that's great. But look, mods, I think, are really the bastion of your 18-year-old male, generally. It's kind of you buy the car and you got to do stuff to it. So how often have we seen either maybe an XR6 Falcon or a Commodore that has wheels on it that are worth more than the rest of the entire car?
Yeah.
Or the, as you mentioned, the fluorescent blue sort of puddle lamps that are sort of right round the car and that throb in time with the music that's going on.
Who doesn't need a puddle lamp?
Oh, my God. Gosh,
if you're in Ligon Street, you need it.
Oh, you tell you.
Exactly. I mean, what else is there to do? It's not as though these things are cheap, because they're not. They're expensive.
That's it. And I love the way. In fact, you regularly we get emails all the time from young guys going, I want to do this to my car. I want to do that to my car. And I always type back the same thing. Well,
don't do it.
Don't do it. Because number one, it's going to devalue your car. And then you get the thing back. But it costs like $5,000. Yeah. And it's like, yes, but as soon as you bolt that onto your car, the next prospective purchaser is going to come along and go, oh, look what they've done to that. Yes. Oh,
yeah.
You don't want to touch that, because if they've done that I can see, what else have they done underneath?
That I don't know about.
Yeah.
I've got somebody who's brought out a car from Japan that's especially been used for drifting in the past. Oh. And I kept thinking, I wonder if that's what happens to it here.
Was that declared before he brought it from Japan, or did he find it out once he got it here?
Absolutely. Big fan of the drifting environment.
Very specific purpose, right.
Yep.
You're a big drifter, Pete.
Oh, me? No, not me, him.
No, you are, though. We know what you get up to when you test driving these cars.
Well, you know, I am a mild-mannered reporter on the outside, but underneath, look out.
You should have heard your Kia Stinger today.
That Kia Stinger, if you get a chance, Rach, take one for a spin. It is so good, I tell you what.
It looks amazing.
And I think
terrific.
There's a car that could do with a bit of a mod. And the only mod that I would kind of be in favour of is an exhaust modification, because the only complaint I've got about that car is it doesn't quite sound as meaty as I would like.
Not hoonish enough.
It needs to scare pedestrians as you drive down Bridge Road or George Street or something like that.
You're funny.
Or really deafen people in a car park at the shopping centre.
Oh, yeah, going up a tunnel and underground car park. I love that.
However, if that doesn't happen, what you do is you just turn up the audio and have that doof, doof, doof music, and it's as loud as the exhaust, or maybe more so. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, you can't do that when you're listening to Hall & Oates, though. we need to hook you up with a bit of hardcore doof-doof.
Hall & Oates, I haven't heard about them in 50 years.
I love Hall & Oates.
Oh, sorry. Oh, they're lovely. You know. And they're contemporary, too.
Yeah, so modern and fresh.
Rach, you're a funny thing. Thank you very much for today's topic. It is just marvellous.
All right. My pleasure. And happy birthday, Pete.
Thank you so much.
And look, as a bit
today.
As a bit of a birthday present, I figure, might not go out with a bit of man-eater. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Just for you, Pete.
Crank it.
Easy listening. Hey!
As always, massive happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
We'll keep the strippers out until the end of the show.
See you later. Cheers.
We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
See you, Rach.
Bye.
Waiting, she's sitting with you, but her eyes are on the
headlights are so much better than they used to be. But there is one downside to today's plastic headlight lenses. They go all cloudy, dull, and sometimes even an off-yellow colour. Not only does this bring down the look of your car, these less-than-perfect lenses aren't giving you the beam strength and clarity that your headlights were designed to. There is a simple fix, however, and it doesn't involve getting new headlights. It's the T-Cut Headlight Restoration Kit. It's really simple to use, it works great, and clear headlights are just a few minutes away. Search for the T-Cut Headlight Restoration Kit in the Altrex Auto Accessories online store at altrex.com.au.
You've heard us on the radio. Now check out the Behind the Wheel website. At behindthewheel.com.au, you can browse all our latest car reviews and car product reviews too. You can also watch our video car reviews and check out all the latest auto news. And make sure you leave your comments. Give us feedback, ask for advice, or just let us know all about your car. Behindthewheel.com.au, where motoring starts.